I'm John Batchelor. To Moscow, some days past, Russian President Vladimir Putin hosted Syrian leader Bashar Assad in the Kremlin for talks that focused on rebuilding Syria after a devastating civil war and efforts to stabilize the region, reports the AP. Malcolm Hohenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, is with me. And we're very pleased to welcome our colleague, Sarit Zahavi, Lieutenant Colonel in the IDF Reserve, founder and president of AMA, a nonprofit independent research organization looking at the north of Israel, which, of course, is the danger zone for Syria bad actors and Lebanese bad actors. Sarit, a very good evening to you. What do you make of this conversation in Moscow between a man at war in Ukraine and a man at war in Syria? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Look, I think we should create a bigger list than that of events that happened last week that are all connected when we speak about the strategic level of what is happening in the Middle East. So it's a Bashar visit to Russia, and then he went to the UAE. We had a normalization agreement between Iran and Saudi Arabia with the mediation of the Chinese. And we also starting to hear reports about renewing the diplomatic relationship between Saudi Arabia and Syria. All of that together is kind of a wake-up call to the United States. A clear message, for example, by the Saudis, that they have more alternative, and by the Russians, that there is never a vacuum. Wherever the United States is not there, which is the Middle East, Russia and China are there. I think this is truly the process that is going on now.
Malcolm?
So what do you think the implications will be now on the broader scale of Assad now even talking about relations with Saudi Arabia and the Saudis reaching out to him? Does it change the situation in Syria? Does it open up new opportunities for them to have funds to increase negative activities? Or do you think they will try to be a more responsible citizen in the region and rein in the activities that you've discussed with us over recent weeks?
Syria is not a player. It's a tool. Bashar is not a player. He's a tool. And the visit to Moscow was in order to make sure that he understands that he's a tool. He's a tool in the hands of Russia, and he's also a tool in the hands of Iran. He's not a true player that can actually influence, or very little influence, I'll be more careful, on his own country. Now, look what's happening. He's the butcher of Damascus. He massacred 500,000 people in his own country. 6 million became refugees. The country is completely devastated. 70% of the Syrians are living in poverty. 9 million are on the verge of hunger. And Bashar is accepted back among the Arabs and is getting help from Russia. So I think we should look at all of that and understand that the implications to the Middle East is kind of shifting of tectonic plates like the earthquake. Of who is against who and who is working with who. I don't see all of that making Iran out of Syria. I actually see more establishment of the division of Syria to areas of influence between Russia and Iran. Of course, along with rebuilding Syria and a lot of investments, as I've said, also the UAE have interests over there. But investment as an Israeli, for me, these are investment by their own guys.
Sarit, there's a report of the Israeli Air Force allegedly an airstrike near Aleppo, second time in weeks. What are they, if it is the IAF, what is the target?
Well, we couldn't confirm exactly what was the target there. There were multiple reports around the new Iranian radars that were deployed in Syria in order to be capable of dealing with this campaign between the wars attack of Israel. But we are not sure that this was the target that was attacked.
These airstrikes, will they continue? In other words, are their arms and other machinery being shipped routinely from Iran to Lebanon? Is that why they're striking?
Moreover, I would tell you moreover. There was an earthquake in Turkey and in northern Syria a month ago. You know how many convoys of trucks have passed in the border crossing between Iraq and Syria on the way into Syria in the past month? We're talking about more than 1,000 convoys of trucks, which some of them mount 280, 150, 230 trucks. So this is huge amount of equipment, and I can bet that it's not just humanitarian aid. It's also weapons that is being smuggled, and the Iranian has just taken advantage of the earthquake to smuggle more weapon within the trucks of humanitarian aid. You know, one with weapon, one with humanitarian aid into Syria. We've seen the commander of Quds Force, Kani, visiting the area, making sure that Quds Force or IRGC will find its way to buy the places that were hurt, in that they were damaged in the earthquake, and to actually take over areas. It is an advantage for the Iranians to do all of that. So yes, the campaign between the wars attacks are against this effort of the Iranians, and it has been ongoing in the past decade.
Malcolm,
and how do you assess how Jordan, Egypt, others are reacting to this shift? They both have vested interests in what happens in Syria, very important interests. And are they impacted by the decisions that are being made? And can Israel continue to act with impunity, in the references to John's earlier comment, if Syria, in fact, reaches understandings with these other countries?
Look, the understandings with these countries, whether it's Jordan, which actually started this process a few years ago, or Saudi Arabia, it's not about, you know, it's not going to be an alliance. I think that all of these Arab countries still view the Iranian presence in Syria and the Iranian regime in general as a threat. But for their understanding, the only way to deal with this threat today is to try to create open channels of dialogue with it rather than a constant clash like we had in Yemen. So I believe that Egypt will join in, and Jordan, as I've said, is already in. And it's not about Israel. It's about relationships inside the Arab world. Israel's policy and, you know, the poor expressions that we've seen the past few days maybe contribute to that, but they didn't lead to this trend to get closer to Syria. It's all about interests of how to play on the field while...
But not dependent on U.S. role? Not dependent on the U.S.?
Definitely. This was my next sentence. Definitely dependent on U.S. role, and kind of disappointment from the U.S. role, especially Saudi Arabia. I am reminding you that President Biden, in his visit to the region, he first came to Israel, he shaked a lot of hands, and then he went to Saudi Arabia, and he didn't shake the hand of the crown prince. And this is, in the eyes of the Saudi, just fist to fist.
Sarit Zahavi is Lieutenant Colonel in the reserves of the IDF. Malcolm Hohenlein, Conference of Presidents. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,